Chapter 8. Akeem woke up the next morning to a dreary sky. The room was cool, and the sunlight that usually spilled through Savan's window was replaced by a dull gray glow. Savan, Akeem noticed as he glanced at the breathing mound of blankets, didn't seem to mind. He slept soundly as if the events of the previous day had never happened. A new pair of shoes, thick black boots, were on the floor next to the bed. A stack of brand new CDs was on his desk. It seemed Savan was always buying something. But with whose money? Akeem thought bitterly. Downstairs, Akeem poured a bowl of cereal and tried to hide his worries. You and Savan getting along any better? Dad asked, sitting next to him. Any problems last night?
We're cool,
Akeem replied between spoonfuls of cereal. The lie was automatic, but for now he didn't care. Until he found out what the doctor said, Akeem felt like his life was stuck on hold somehow. It was as if an invisible bomb, cancer, was falling and everyone was waiting to see where it landed. Until he was sure, Akeem would lie about Savan, his feelings about the move, and his sadness about his friends. Anything to keep the peace. Besides, he could see that his father was completely distracted. Sitting across the table, he stared blankly at his plate, his eyes focused on something no one else could see. Upstairs, Akeem hurried to get dressed as Savan slowly woke up.
So, you seeing Anika?
He mumbled sleepily, his head partially hidden by his pillow.
How is she?
What do you care? Akeem challenged, feeling a ripple of jealousy for Savan and the past he had had with Anika.
You just better watch yourself, cuz,
Savan said with a yawn.
That girl's bad news. She runs in the wrong crowd. She steals stuff.
Like you should talk,
Akeem snapped in outrage.
I can't believe you snuck out the first night you were punished. I'm tired of covering for you, man.
Oh, get out of my face. I already covered for you big time with the fight. You didn't take any blame for that, even though you started it,
Savan growled, sitting up in his bed. Akeem ignored his comment and searched for his notebook, not wanting to leave it with Savan again. His guitar rested exactly where he had put it the previous night, but the notebook was missing. Savan watched him curiously.
You take my notebook again? I know you already read it once.
Akeem accused, remembering the other night when Savan mentioned Darcy's name.
No, I didn't take it, but I did look at it. That's because you left it laying around on the floor where I tripped on it. I was going to throw it away until I checked and realized it was yours. Maybe I read a little bit too, but you can't tell me you don't look at my stuff when I leave it out.
Akeem scratched his head, unwilling to get into this fight now. He had to find his journal. The last time he remembered having it was when he was on the couch with Anika. He'd put it down to teach her how to play the guitar, and when she kissed him, he forgot all about it. He felt a sinking feeling in his chest.
She's reading all my stuff, he thought.
The book contained all his songs from Bluford, his thoughts about Darcy, and his dad's sickness. It even contained what he wrote about her.
Maybe she didn't read it, he hoped, stopping at Anika's house on the way to work.
He knocked loudly several times, knowing that her grandmother had a hearing aid. There was no answer. He decided to check the laundromat. Rushing in the door, he went straight to the back where she had been the day before. An unfamiliar young woman watched him nervously as he approached.
Can I help you?
Is Anika here?
He asked.
No, she don't work on Fridays.
Akeem shook his head in frustration. By the time he'd see her, she'd probably have read his entire book. Still, there was nothing he could do now. He had to get to work. At the furniture store, the morning dragged by like a boring movie. Akeem looked at the clock periodically, thinking that hours had passed, only to discover that less than half the time had gone by. By noon, he had finished all the usual tasks and began looking for extra work, anything to keep his mind off his father's doctor visit. After lunch, he swept the parking lot outside the store and pulled the scraggly weeds that grew between the cracks in the asphalt. By late afternoon, when his mother hadn't called, he began to worry. Even Uncle James seemed edgy.
I know what you're thinking, Akeem, but don't worry. These medical tests can take all day sometimes, he said.
but Akeem noticed Uncle James checking his watch often. At 4 o'clock, he even sighed out loud.
Whatever happens, Akeem, I want you to know we'll take care of you. You always got a home here with us, Uncle James said at 5:15. The comment scared Akeem more than it calmed him. It sounded final, as if Dad was going to get sick again, or worse. It wasn't until 6:30 when Akeem saw the Nissan pulling slowly into the lot that his stomach trembled and he began to feel sick.
I'm sorry I'm late, Mom said as she stepped out the car. The test took forever, and then traffic, and by the time I dropped your father off...
I don't care, Mom. Tell us what the doctor said, Akeem asked.
His mother's face beamed, and she flashed a wide smile.
He's okay, baby. He's okay.
Really? Akeem said, almost not believing the news as his mother's arms wrapped around him. Tears rolled down his face.
Detroit's been good to us, she explained,
her own tears mingling with his.
I don't know if it's your aunt's cooking, the extra rest, or just getting away from all the financial stress, but your father also gained 4 pounds.
Really? Akeem repeated. He had so expected bad news that he didn't know how to respond to anything else.
The doctor said he's all clear. He can even start light work in a few weeks.
That's it. The store is closed tonight, Uncle James said. We're celebrating.
The news was the best thing Akeem had heard in months, and for once his heart soared free of the burden it had been under for weeks.
Thank you, God,
he thought to himself, leaning back in the car seat, the news seeping deeper into his mind like rainwater. As he listened to his mother gush about how happy she was, the worry that had quietly gripped his heart for so long began to let go. In its place, a mix of emotions that he'd buried away began to quell and bubble inside him like steam from a quenched fire. Since Dad's illness, Akeem had done nothing but work, assist, support, and help. In that same time, he'd lost his school, his home, his friends. Now, with Dad okay, he could no longer ignore how alone he had become. And as Akeem thought of the months ahead, it only seemed like it would get worse.
Stop feeling sorry for yourself. At least Dad's okay,
he thought as they drove home through the evening traffic. Yet Akeem could not shake the tinge of gloom that began to creep into his thoughts, despite the news of his father's victory over cancer. As Mom parked the car, Akeem looked over at Anika's house. A light in the second floor bedroom was on.
Anika must be home, he thought.
Inside, Akeem went straight to his father to celebrate.
I heard the good news, Dad. Someone's gaining weight, Akeem said,
patting Dad's stomach playfully.
It's all that cooking your aunt's been doing, Dad joked as he hugged Akeem. And it's because of your help, son. You're really helping out, and I want you to know it, he said as they embraced.
Thanks, Dad, Akeem said, loosely hugging his father.
He was grateful, but even in his father's arms, he felt uneasy. Though he hid it, he was not completely happy, not with his heart divided about the move. Not with Savan watching him. Not with the knowledge that he'd start the school year in the fall without friends. Not with Anika leaving.
What's wrong with me?
He thought, angry at himself for being unable to fully enjoy the moment with his family. After dinner, Akeem headed over to Anika's house. His father's news made the notebook seem less important, but what Akeem really wanted was to see Anika. As he stepped up the front stairs, he noticed her house was dark except for the upstairs light. But then something else caught his eye. The front door was slightly ajar. It just didn't seem right. Akeem knew Anika wouldn't forget to lock a door. She was smarter than that.
Anika!
Akeem spoke out. The house was deathly silent.
Hello?
He said, louder this time. Still no answer. He gently nudged the door and it opened halfway with a slight squeak. The familiar musty smell leaked into his nostrils. Akeem looked back at his uncle's house, and then the other way. He saw no one nearby on the street. In the distance, a group of kids hung out under the streetlight on the corner, but no one seemed to notice him.
Anika!
He yelled and stepped inside. Other than the open door, the outside of the house was the same as before. But in the living room, Akeem noticed that the picture of Anika's cousin had been removed. He examined the spot where it had been. A tiny nail was still lodged in the wall where it hung. The remaining photos were undisturbed, a line of strangers gazing at the vacant living room. A tremor raced down Hakim's spine. He moved to where he had sat with Anika the night before. He saw the place where he had put down his notebook, but it wasn't there. Walking over to the bottom of the stairway, he could see dim yellow light coming from upstairs. What if someone is hurt? He thought, but his suspicion told him otherwise. Hello? He said one more time, carefully making his way up the stairs. At the top was a bathroom and a small hallway with two doors. Both were open, but light came from the farther one that overlooked the street. He walked over to it. His eyes widened at what he knew was Anika's bedroom. A row of shoes lined the floor against the wall, and next to them stood a coat rack that held a jacket and a few purses. Hakim noticed that several pairs of shoes had been removed from the row, and not every peg on the rack was holding something. The bed was covered in flowery sheets, but it was unmade. Next to the bed was a tiny plastic alarm clock with red digital numbers. But what caught Hakim's eye most was a bus schedule. It sat next to the clock, underneath the light that had been left on. Picking it up, he noticed that several times had been circled. All of them left the bus terminal between 10 p.m. and 2 a.m. "She's gone," Hakim said in shock. He walked back to the second bedroom and flipped the nearest light switch. The room was clean and sparse. Old pictures were arranged neatly on the walls, but several had been removed. Two drawers were open and empty as if they had been quickly packed. The bed itself was unmade, but a pile of folded laundry had been positioned on a nightstand. A note written in large letters was left on top of the pile.
"I love you, Grandma. Sorry I had to leave. The nurse will be here this afternoon to take you to the care center. Your bags are packed downstairs. I put Grandpa's picture in the bag for you. I know you'll be in good hands. Thank you for understanding. I will call you when I can. Don't worry about me. Love, Anika."
Hakim noticed two tiny circles on the bottom of the paper, as if teardrops had landed on there. His hands shook as he put the letter back, his own eyes moist. Looking at the room, Hakim knew what Anika said the other day was true. The state people had come for her grandmother, and she had run away to avoid foster care. He hated her decision, but he couldn't help but admire her. Alone, in an impossible situation, she did the best she could for her grandmother, staying as long as possible without anyone to help her. And when she knew there was nothing more that she could do, she took a bold step and went where she wanted to be. It was a decision he envied, even as he dismissed it as a fantasy the night before. "I'll miss you, girl," he said aloud as he descended the stairs. Once outside, he carefully closed and locked the door behind him, treating the empty house as if it were the grave of a loved one. Hakim went straight upstairs as soon as he got back to Uncle Jason's. His family, including Savan, was in the living room eating ice cream and watching TV. On the screen, a police car raced through a crowded city in pursuit of a criminal. Upstairs, he grabbed his guitar and cried through its strings, the sharp pain gradually giving way to a dull ache. His thoughts drifted to the friend he lost next door and the others he left back home. His only comfort was his guitar, but even that reminded him of Anika. She was gone, and with her, all his songs, his words, his memories, part of his soul. She did take things, as Uncle James and Savan warned, but for some reason he couldn't be mad at her. Putting the guitar down, Hakim stretched out on his bed and imagined what it would have been like to take the bus with her back to California. He pictured being dropped off at Bluford, a place that seemed farther away each passing day. He tried to envision his friends and how they would welcome him, but instead all they did was wave goodbye. And as his tired eyes closed, Hakim resigned himself to a simple, undeniable fact. He had never felt more alone.